Psalm 51, verse 18, the second part of the verse reads, "Build thou the walls of Jerusalem." We said the Jerusalem stands for the church and people of God. And Jerusalem is a walled city, a fortified city. And we said, why do we need a walled city? For defense. And why do you need defense? Because there are enemies round who are threatening to attack and who seek our destruction. And certainly the church has many enemies, physical and spiritual enemies. And our great enemies, of course, are the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so we need protection. We need a castle. Now, what we want to look at is Psalm 31 and verse 21. How good is our defense as Christians? How well fortified are we? How safe are we from the attacks of the enemy? If the church is something weak and easily defeated, then we're in trouble. But is that the case? Psalm 31 and verse 21 starts with praise to God. Blessed be the Lord. Why? For he hath showed me his marvelous kindness. Right? God has been wonderfully kind to me. Where? In a strong city. Or in a fenced city. And so we find that the church is a strong city, not a weak one. And that word, strong, it means a fortified or fenced city. In Ezekiel 21 and verse 20, we see it referred to this way. Talks about the king of Babylon coming up to attack Jerusalem. And God says this to Ezekiel, "Appoint a way that the sword may come to Rabbath of the Ammonites and to Judah in Jerusalem, the defensed." Notice how Jerusalem is described as the defensed. Of course, they had sinned at this point. And God was removing his protection from them and allowing them to be defeated and destroyed by the Babylonians. But it was a defense city. And again, why am I talking about Jerusalem and Judah and all these things, Zion, and talking about the church? Because these are the terms that God used in the Old Testament to picture the realities that we have today as members of the church. Now, the church is not to be open to attack like a city without walls. Sometimes the Bible talks about unwalled cities. What does that mean? They have no defense. They have no protection. They're vulnerable. They're easily attacked. They have nothing to protect them. The enemy can come right in and defeat them, with nothing standing in their way. In Proverbs 25 and verse 28, what about somebody who can't control his temper? Is that anything that has to do with this? Well, it gives us an illustration of what that's like. It says, "He that has no rule over his own spirit," you know, in other words, he's out of control, flies off the handle, gets easily upset, worried, fretful, irritable. You know, in other words, just completely out of hand. It says, that's like a city that is broken down and without walls. And when a city comes into that condition, it's in a very sorry and dangerous state. Well, the church is not like that. But how do we avoid being like that? What about a church that has no rule over its members? No control over its beliefs or practices? Well, the reason a church is to have order and discipline is to maintain sound faith and practice. In other words, what we believe and what we do has a very big effect upon how the church succeeds or fails. How can we have God's blessing? You know, His protection and prosperity. But one thing, a church cannot allow anything to go. You know, we can't believe or do anything or we will be defeated. In other words, we have to stay true to God's Word in our faith and in our practice. And when we depart from that, we offend God, we lose His blessing, and we become vulnerable, open to attack, easily defeated. The problem with churches today is they have no standards. You know, in other words, you know, everyone should have rules, but the church, that seems to be the attitude. But that's really not what the Bible would say. A church that's pure in doctrine and practice is a strong, secure church. As soon as you allow the world to come into the church and sin to come into the church, that church loses its purity, it loses its power, it loses God's blessing, and it loses its influence with men. It cannot accomplish anything because people have nothing but contempt. Outwardly, they'll say, oh, that church is great. Doesn't matter what you do or what you believe or how you, whatever, anything goes. Oh, we feel very comfortable there. Well, again, the church is not supposed to be a catch-all and anything goes place. It's supposed to be a what would God have us to do and obedience to Him. And so that's why it's important that we be not like a city broken down and without walls. And what I want to talk about next is the church's walls, because that's the main thing David prays about in Psalm 51. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Now, there's a lot of things that go into the makeup of a city. Why does he focus upon the walls? Well, that's what we want to see, is why the walls are so important. Psalm 76 is where we'll start with that. Psalm 76. Why is it important to go to church? Well, that's where God is. That's where He dwells. That's where He is preached. That's where He's known. That's where His people gather. And so He says, in Judah is God known. There's those who have no relationship to the church or people of God. They don't know God. They're ignorant of Him. He's a stranger to them. They have no relationship to Him. His name is great in Israel. Now you go out in the world, people don't talk about God, about how wonderful He is, how great He is, how powerful He is, you know, and all these things. They don't ever really think about Him unless He's a curse word or something. But in His name is great in Israel. In Salem, or that's a word for Jerusalem, also is His tabernacle and His dwelling place in Zion. Right, that's where He meets with us to bless us. There, it says, He break the arrows of the bow, the shield, and the sword in the battle. Selah. Right? At Jerusalem, in Zion, is where He conquers the enemies. So the city of Jerusalem had God's special protection. And God says this in a number of places. Isaiah 31. Isaiah 31 and verse 4 and 5. Isaiah 31 verse 4 and 5. For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. God is going to fight. Now, there's a battle you can't win. If God is, you know, if the Bible says if God is for us, who can be against us? Nobody can overcome or conquer God. He's almighty. But if God be against us, who can help us? Who can fight God and prevail? Nobody. And so it says, as birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending it also, he will deliver it. And passing over, he will preserve it. In other words, there's no question about the outcome. When God fights for us, we will be delivered, we will be preserved. Because no one is stronger than God. No one can successfully oppose him. And when they fight us, they're fighting God, because we're his people. We're the apple of his eye. Now, there's nothing that's more protected than the eyeball. It's got more things around it to keep it safe than any other part of the body. And do you think God's going to let someone come and gouge his eyes out? We're the apple of his eye. Is he going to let someone come and poke their finger in his eye? He's going to protect his eye. That's the most delicate. And, you know, the first thing you do when someone throws something at you is you blink and put your hands up in front of your face, right? And that's because that's the most natural thing to protect. Because, you know, our sight is precious. And our eyes are very tender, easily damaged. And so God has that kind of protection for us. We saw it in Zechariah 12. We go back there again just to point out two verses. Verse 8 and 9. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David. And the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. In other words, God's going to greatly strengthen us against our foes. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Now, it's kind of amazing. Like I said earlier, the church seems like it's the weakest, smallest, most helpless entity in the world. And the world has all the money, all the resources, you know, all the numbers and all the power, and they come against us and they fight us. And you think, what chance do we have against, you know, such uneven odds? And yet when you think about it, the world has nothing. They have no strength, nothing behind them, no power to bring against us. We have God for us. So even though it looks like they have all the power on their side and we're defenseless, we have all the power on our side and they're helpless. Because God makes the difference. And we do need God if we're going to be safe. That's what Psalm 127:1 said. Except the Lord keep the city. Unless the Lord is our protector, the watchman waketh but in vain. In other words, we need to have watchmen, but yet those watchmen can do nothing unless God is with them to help them and give them success. Because without God's protection, we cannot protect ourselves. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs 21, it tells us where safety comes from. Proverbs 21 and verse 31. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. Boy, what an advantage it is to have a cavalry. Horses, you know, those mighty beasts to ride into battle with. That gives you the advantage, right? Well, it's good to have, but it's not enough. Without God, it will never give us the advantage. But safety is of the Lord, or victory is of the Lord. It's God who gives protection and victory. And so Jerusalem had God's special protection. And even so, the church of Jesus Christ is especially protected by God. Now, we have far greater enemies than Jerusalem ever had when they had the Babylonians and the Romans and the Persians and Medes and all these other nations come against them, the Assyrians. Those were some powerful enemies. But what do we have? We have the devil and all his forces coming against us. far greater than any physical enemy. You know, the Bible says that we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual enemies are far more numerous, far more powerful, far greater than any earthly army. And yet, we have the Lord with us. And He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Shall not prevail against it. That's His promise. Let's look at another place, Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49. Now, it's amazing. Before you become a Christian, you're totally unaware of the spiritual realities around you and how there is a great war going on in the invisible world between God and the devil, and our souls are in the middle and are at stake. It still amazed me how when I got saved and my eyes were open and I could see these things and got involved in these things, how real they were and how totally oblivious I was to them all my life long. But we can't be oblivious because we're in the middle of it and we're on one side or the other. Isaiah 49 and verse 14. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me and my Lord hath forgotten me. That's how they felt, that God wasn't there and He wasn't helping them. And then God says this, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will not I forget thee. A mother with a nursing child could forget that child before God could forget us. And there's no stronger love than a mother's love. And yet God's love is greater. He says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Now, your name is etched right on my palm where I see it all. You ever heard, I know you like the back of my hand? Well, God knows us like the palm of His hand because we're there. He holds us in His hand. Thy walls are continually before me. God's eye, His protective care is always with us. That's what makes our walls secure and strong. The walls of Zion are ever before God. That means they're in His sight and in His care and protection. And what are our walls? Let's look at Zechariah again, chapter 2 and verse 5. Zechariah 2 and verse 5. It says, for I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Can you imagine coming against the city to attack it? What do you see? A big wall of flames all the way around it. What do you do now? What do you do next? How do you get through that or over that? A wall of fire. God Himself is around His people as a wall of fire. Anything that tries to get through that will be burnt up. It can't get through. You know, our God is a consuming fire. So our enemies attack us, and they come right up to a wall of fire. And if they want to keep going, all they're going to do is get burned. God is a wall of fire around His people. Look at how He describes Himself so many times, or is described by His people. Psalm 18, verse 1. And 2. I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. God is all those things to us. Who can ask for more? What do we lack when we have God in that way? The name of the Lord is a high tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Psalm 46 and verse 1. Psalm 46 and verse 1, he says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. Therefore we will not fear. How about Psalm 48, verse 2 and 3? It says, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces. How is He known? For a refuge. A place to go where you are protected. A place of safety. You know, you see all these extreme weather programs and the tornadoes coming, where they run? Into the storm cellar, and they can ride it out and not get hurt. Where do we run? Where do we go? How can we be safe when all these evils come upon us in this world? God. He's our refuge. Our fortress. Place of safety. How about Psalm 62? 62, verse 6 and 7. He only is my rock. Now, something strong and firm and secure and protective. And my salvation, my deliverance. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. And how do we have this? Trust in Him at all times, ye people. We trust in Him and He becomes all this to us. One more, Isaiah chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 4. Why am I going through all this? Because this world is a dangerous place. We are exposed to all kinds of potential harm and evil all the time. And we do have something that we can go to and that will keep us in these things, whatever it may be. Isaiah chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. It says, "The Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge and for a covert from storm and from rain." God has a wall about us. What is that wall? Well, let's look at what some of that wall is. Psalm 34 and verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8. It says, verse 7 and 8, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." God's angel is like a guard encamped around us, and as we trust in Him, we're safe. We're delivered. God has made His angels to be a wall about His people. Isn't that what Psalm 91 says? You know, angels are God's spirits that He sends forth to minister to His people. And they give us protection many times that we're not even aware of. Many times the angels of God have helped us and we do not even know it. In Psalm 91, verse 11, it says, "He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands," like holding a child, "lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet." That's how we overcome the enemies, through God's enabling power, His protective angelic guard. It's a wonderful thing. How strong a guard is an angel? Well, do you remember when the Assyrians came against the city of Jerusalem? You know what God told them? "I will defend this city for my name's sake." And He sent an angel that night, and I believe it was 180,000 Assyrian soldiers were dead in the morning. One angel slew 180,000 enemy soldiers overnight. And we have that angel about us to protect us. Isaiah 26 and verse 1 tells us what our great protection is. What do we really need to be safe from time and eternity? God's salvation. That's the only real protection. See, God has promised that He will judge those who are sinners and do not repent. And there's no protection from God's judgment but Jesus Christ. And here's what He says in Isaiah 26:1. "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. What makes it strong? Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. We have salvation appointed by God for walls and bulwarks. Or like Thessalonians says, God has not appointed thee to wrath or to eternal damnation in hell. If you're a believer, that's not your destiny, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. God has made salvation the very walls of His church. Isaiah 60 and verse 14. Let's see how he says this. It says, the sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shall suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, thy Savior, and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. And so he's saying, for brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. I will also make thy officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. So God made salvation the walls of His church. He's delivered us from violence and destruction, and He's brought us the song of praise to God. That's why we praise Him, because He's saved us, and we have this salvation as our preservation. You remember what Psalm 125, 1 and 2 said? If we're saved, we are safe forevermore. Our soul is out of the reach of our enemies. They can never drag us down to destruction. They can never take us from God. They can never bring us to eternal ruin. It says, they that trust in the Lord. And that's how we're saved, by faith. By grace are you saved through faith. And it says, they shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. What did Jesus say? I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know, he says, the Father that gave unto me is greater than all, and no one can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Will never be removed, but abide forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people, from henceforth, even forever. Forever. The Lord is my salvation. Look with me at Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Verse 11 to 14. He says, the Lord takes pleasure in those that fear Him, in those that hope how? In His mercy. You know, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saves us. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For He hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. If we hope in God's mercy, we will praise Him for His strength and for His salvation. And so how blessed we are that we have eternal deliverance and security in Jesus Christ. I'll close with Psalm 69. Psalm 69, verse 35 and 36. There's a saying, there's no salvation outside the church. Does that mean the church can save us? No, the church cannot save us. Only Jesus saves. What that means is that if I am not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, if I'm not one of His people, I cannot be saved. And because He only saves those who put their trust in Him. Psalm 69, verse 35 and 36. It says, for God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of His servants shall inherit it, and they that love His name shall dwell therein. There's no salvation, no deliverance, no protection, no safety, no eternal life outside of Jesus Christ. We need that salvation that only Jesus gives, and that is only found in Him. And it's ours to have if we will only come to Him and put our trust in Him and ask Him for it. It's ours for the asking. Lord Jesus, save me a sinner. Have mercy upon me a sinner. Give me Your gift of eternal life. Let's close in prayer.